This is Tom Fox. I'm the Compliance Evangelist. I'd like to welcome you to a special 11-part series where, over the next 11 episodes, I'm going to go into the 10 hallmarks of an effective compliance program and add the new requirement for root cause analysis. All of these episodes will be based upon my new book, The Complete Compliance Handbook, which is released May 21 on Amazon.com. The Complete Compliance Handbook incorporates the most recent pronouncements from the Department of Justice, including the 2017 Evaluation of Corporate Compliance Programs and the new FCPA Corporate Enforcement Policy to provide you the most up-to-date advice on what constitutes a best practices compliance program. In this single volume, I bring together the top ideas, topics, and techniques that you can incorporate into your compliance program literally in 31 days to more fully operationalize your compliance regime. If you want one volume to guide you in operationalizing compliance, this book is it. The book is designed to provide you with a step-by-step guide to the design, creation, and implementation of a compliance program. It begins with 31 days to a more effective compliance program. Each entry for this first chapter provides you one thing you can accomplish at little or no cost to improve any level of a compliance program. There are three key takeaways for each entry. This final chapter of the book goes through the same process for you to operationalize your compliance program. In between these bookends, the Complete Compliance Handbook features chapters on operationalizing compliance through HR, the role of the Board of Directors in compliance, 360 degrees of communication in compliance, better third-party risk management, reporting and investigations, internal controls, innovation and compliance, written standards, and more effective compliance for business ventures. Also, continuous improvement. If you want one book, which is the single standard on best practices compliance program, this is the book for you. Once again, it's available on Amazon.com. Also, if you'd like an autographed copy, you can purchase one from my site, www.fcpacompliancereport.com, and I will mail it to you. This is Tom Fox. I hope you enjoy today's hallmark. Thank you for listening. Hallmark 2, written standards. There are three components to written standards of a best practices compliance program. They are the code of conduct, policies and procedures, and internal controls. I will take up each independently. What's the value of having a code of conduct? I've heard many business folks ask this question over the years. In the early days, a code of conduct tended to be lawyer-written and lawyer-driven to wave in a regulator's face during an enforcement action by using it to claim that we are an ethical company. But this, fortunately, is dissipating. Under the 2012 FCPA guidance, both the DOJ and SEC stated, a company's code of conduct is often the foundation upon which an effective compliance program is built. The DOJ has repeatedly noted that the most effective codes of conduct are clear, concise, and accessible to all employees and to those conducting businesses on the company's behalf. Indeed, it would be difficult to effectively implement a compliance program if it was not available in the local language so that employees and foreign subsidiaries can access and understand it. There are several purposes which should be communicated in your code of conduct. The overriding goal is for all employees to follow what is required of them under the code of conduct. You can do this by communicating those requirements to providing a process for proper decision-making and then requiring all persons subject to the code of conduct put these standards in everyday business practice. Such actions are some of your best evidence that the company upholds and supports proper compliance conduct. The substance of your code of conduct should be tailored to your company's culture, to its industry, and its corporate identity. It should provide a mechanism by which employees who are trying to do the right thing in the compliance and ethics arena can do so. The code of conduct should be used as a basis for employee review and evaluation. It should certainly be invoked if there is a violation. Your company's disciplinary procedures should be stated in the code of conduct. This would include all forms of discipline up to and including dismissal for serious violations of the code of conduct. Further, your company's code of conduct should emphasize it will comply with all applicable laws and regulations wherever it does. The code needs to be written in plain English and translated into other languages as necessary. The second part of written standards is policies and procedures. There are numerous reasons to put some serious work into your compliance policies and procedures. They are certainly a first line of defense when the government comes knocking. The 2012 FCPA guidance made clear whether a company has policies, procedures that outline responsibilities for compliance within the company, detail internal controls, auditing practices, and documentation policies, and sets forth disciplinary procedures will all be considered by the Department of Justice and SEC. By using the word considered, it is clear that the regulators will take a strong view against a company that does not have a well-thought-out and articulated set of policies and procedures, all of which are systematically reviewed and updated. Moreover, having policies written out and signed by employees provides what some consider the most vital layer of communication and act as an internal control itself. Together with a signed acknowledgement, these documents can serve as evidentiary support if a future issue arises. In other words, the document mantra applies just as strongly to this area of anti-corruption compliance. The specific written policies and procedures required for a best practices program are well known and have been long established. In the 2012 FCPA guidance, it stated, among the risks the companies needs to address include the nature and extent of transactions with foreign governments, including payments to foreign officials, the use of third parties, gifts, travel, and entertainment expenses, charitable donations and political contributions, facilitating and expediting payments. Policies help form the basis of expectation for conduct in your company. Procedures are the documents that implement these standards. The role of the compliance policy is to protect the companies, the stakeholders, including employees, third parties, and others, despite an occasional lapse. A company's compliance policy should provide a basic set of guidelines for the employees to follow. Of course, procedures are how you implement the policies. So under the procedures, you need to have a procedure for all of the policies. This would include gifts, travel, and entertainment, certainly third parties, and charitable donations and political contributions. So how you implement these procedures are going to be critical going forward. The FCPA guidance ends its sections on policies and procedures with the following. Regardless of the specific policies and procedures implemented, these standards should apply to personnel at all levels of the company. It is important that compliance policies and procedures are applied fairly and consistently across the organization. The fair process doctrine demonstrates that if company policies and procedures are not applied consistently, there is a greater chance that an employee dismissed for breaching a policy could successfully sue or claim they were unfairly terminated. This last point cannot be overemphasized. Frankly, if you're going to terminate employees in Brazil for fudging on their expense accounts, you had best make sure that you penalize the same conduct with a consistent application of discipline in the United States. Finally, internal controls. In the 2012 FCPA guidance, it stated, internal controls over financial reporting are the processes by which companies provide reasonable assurances regarding the reliability of financial reporting and the preparation of financial statements. These include various components, such as a control environment that covers the tone set by the organization regarding integrity and ethics, risk assessment, control activities that cover policies and procedures designed to ensure that management directives are carried out, in other words, approvals, authorizations, reconciliations, and segregation of duties, information and communication and monitoring. Moreover, the design of a company's internal controls must take into account the operational realities and risk attendant to the company's business, such as the nature of its products or services, how the products and services get to market, the nature of its workforce, the degree of regulation, the extent of government interaction, and the degree to which it operates in countries with a high risk of corruption. Why are internal controls important to your compliance program? Well, several FCPA enforcement actions demonstrate that. First was the Weatherford International criminal enforcement action, where the company failed to institute appropriate internal controls around third parties and business transactions, limits of authority, and documentation requirements. Secondly, on effectively evaluating business transactions, such as acquisitions and joint ventures, for corruption risk. Finally, there was problems around excessive gifts, travel, and entertainment. Certainly, the Halliburton 2017 enforcement action for internal controls around the use of a vendor coming through the company supply chain, internal controls, and override was critical. There are four significant internal controls that a compliance practitioner should implement. These are delegation of authority, maintenance of the vendor master file, contracts with third parties, and movements of cash and currency. Your delegation of authority should reflect the impact of the compliance risk on both the transactions and geographic locations, so a higher level of approval for matters involving third parties for fund transfers and invoice payments outside the United States. Obviously, your vendor master is a very powerful preventive internal control. Contracts with third parties can be a very effective internal control, which act to prevent further illegal conduct. And all situations involving the movement of cash or transfer money should involve additional internal controls. The bottom line is that internal controls are not just good financial controls. Internal controls are good for compliance. As an exercise, I suggest you map your existing internal controls to the hallmarks of the 10 hallmarks of an effective compliance program. This will help you determine whether you have adequate compliance controls present in your company, and from there you can move on to see if they are practicing or functioning. Hope you've enjoyed this exploration of hallmark number 2 of the 10 hallmarks of an effective compliance program, and you'll join us for our next episode where we will explore hallmark number 3, CCO authority and compliance function resources. This is Tom Fox again. Thank you for listening to this hallmark of an effective compliance program. I hope you will check out my book, The Complete Compliance Handbook. It's available on Amazon.com and on my website, www.fcpacompliancereport.com. Thank you for listening.